freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Welcome back, everyone, to Patriot Coalition Live. I'm Matthew Nugent.
And I'm Jason Marocek.
Thanks for joining us today. Our goal is to create a timeless resource to teach about the U.S. Constitution and the proper role of government, the importance of America's Judeo-Christian heritage, how to defend against threats to our republic. Folks, we want to engage with members of our armed forces, veterans, first responders, and those patriots who support them in their noble professions. Weekly podcasts are available Tuesday mornings, wherever you get your podcast, including Spotify and PatriotCoalitionLive.com. That's PatriotCoalitionLive.com. Also, your support is very important to us. Please support us at PatriotCoalitionLive.com/support. All right. Y'all ready for this?
I am.
Let's do this. Okay. Today's episode, we're talking about, it's a special episode, actually, about the 2020 election. From a constitutional perspective, we're going to do our best to just lay the facts out and help you to, or let you really, you know, put the dots together and kind of put the puzzle together and give you a constitutional perspective. Okay? So, now, Patriot Coalition Live is a nonpartisan organization and a 100% constitution backing organization. Let's be clear. That's the right thing to do. We will hold the feet to the fire of any politician, no matter what party, libertarian, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter, okay, who is not upholding their oath to the Constitution. That said, we are explaining the election situation, like I said, from a constitutional perspective. And I'll quote Rudy Giuliani, the media isn't the one that gets to call elections, the law does. Okay, so there are two basically opposing narratives. One, which says something to the effect of there's not enough evidence of voter fraud or not enough voter fraud to move the presidential elections. And they don't even mention, you know, the congressional elections, senatorial elections, legislative elections at the state level. Or the other is there is plenty of evidence of voting irregularity. And information is being collected literally every minute, okay? So here's an update from the last 24 hours, basically. Today, recording it on Friday, the 13th of November, 2020.
And what could go wrong?
What could go wrong
on Friday, the 13th?
We're working through what went wrong, I think. But anyway, I digress. But it is Friday, the 13th. We'll make the most of it. And we're going to post this tonight. And we're also going to have a regular episode posting next Tuesday. So this is an extra. We just wanted to be here for you. So an update. There is evidence that counterintelligence systems, I'll say counterintelligence, as military government level systems used to manipulate the votes. There are two particular systems, scorecard, that's scorecard, and the hammer. That's the hammer. Now, the hammer is a counterintelligence surveillance program used to spy on activities on protected networks like voting machines without detection. Scorecard is a vote manipulation application that changes votes during transfer. It's the least detectable form of election manipulation because it works during data transfer. Here are some of the latest voting irregularity issues, okay? In Michigan alone, that's in Michigan alone, there are over 900,000 ballots with irregularities. I will say that again. In Michigan alone, there are over 900,000 ballots with irregularities. That's from David Barton, Wall Builders Live, okay? And the information about the hammer and scorecard was also from David Barton. Next, Dominion Voting Systems has had major problems with counting ballots, okay? And Dominion has been used in over 30 states. I'm sure you've heard in the news in one particular county, there were 5,000 votes that were, oops, meant for Trump. And they weren't. So they corrected that. But it's in over 30 states. Allegedly, there is up to 2.7 million. That's 2.7 million votes deleted or switched by Dominion voting systems. Okay. We'll follow up on that, and or you'll hear about that in the news, depending on where you look. Also, from the Right Scoop, that's Right Scoop, 11 November, the president's press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, said that there is a list of, actually a book, basically, 234 pages of voter fraud affidavits. Okay, now, so one affidavit can literally represent tens of thousands of votes, okay? So from one side of the media, there's not enough, or there's no evidence of voter fraud or enough for voter irregularity to make a difference. And the other side, it's being collected literally by the minute. So the media at large is not talking about the massive amounts of evidence. They're mischaracterizing or lying. They just are, okay?
You know, Matt, and here in our home state, my home state of Texas, we've actually turned down Dominion 3 times from coming in and working in our state.
That's right. And come to think of it, they turned it down because of its connection to the internet. I'll say that again. A voting system is connected to the internet, which is a poor characteristic of any voting system, which means it can be manipulated.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Now, the media is mischaracterizing or lying, or their attitude is just shut up, take a hike if you're going to talk about any change in the election. Facebook, I get these feeds on Facebook from Facebook asserting that, I mean, it's like straight up evidence for the election being given to Biden was proper, something to that effect. And yeah. I mean, if you haven't been paying attention, and you don't know by now that Facebook is, you know, in the bag with, you know, the left organizations and Democratic organizations, you haven't been paying attention. So
they definitely have their thumb on the scale, right?
They do. I say the foot, a foot on the scale, you know, I really, you know, so Twitter has blocked, as you know, they've blocked media, a whole media outlets, the New York Post, fourth largest circulation in the United States, and media paints a picture as, oh, they're just a tabloid. It's just, you know, rumor mill. Okay. Let's see. Twitter has banned us or blocked some of the president's tweets. That's that's bold, and it's an assault against freedom, no matter what party you are. And the same media that coronated Biden as the president-elect, while states are still going through counts and the electoral votes have not been cast. So can you trust mainstream media or big tech? We'll leave that up to you. If you are looking for alternatives, here are some suggestions, okay? People have already started to make the mass migration from these. And if you've been on Facebook, you probably have seen people say, hey, I'm going to go get a new Parler handle. And mine is at Matthew Nugent, just so you know. I already got mine. So they were saying, hurry up and get your handle while you can. And it was shocking how fast it happened. People are not stupid. So instead of Twitter, they're using Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. Instead of YouTube, I recently found out there's Rumble.com. And you can get our podcast actually through rumble.com. And instead of Facebook, we use MeWe. What a funny name. M-E-W-E. MeWe. So you could say MeWe, but it's MeWe. Instead of Google, there are a lot of search engines out there. DuckDuckGo is a one. We've also found out recently that other companies have outright banned, blocked, or shut down conservatives. GoFundMe, like GoFundMe.com, when you have a cause you want to raise money for, have just shut down accounts of conservatives. The same thing with Uber Eats, meaning if you're hungry, you're conservative, ain't getting it. Seriously now? Lyft, that's L-Y-F-T. That's for the basically a taxi service. And that's from Commentator. The Commentator, the conservative girl. She's an opinion columnist. Thank you, the conservative girl. So now, because banning and censoring conservatives is so rampant in our society right now, actually, Jason and I are doing something about it. It's still in the works, but be ready for it. And it's a chance for you to participate and cast your vote through your voice, okay? So the media has called the election for Biden. He is the presumptuous, all caps, presumptuous president-elect, and now heads the, yeah, thank you for those air quotes, triple air quotes, you know, presumptive president-elect, and now heads the office of the president-elect. That's just made up. And so what do we do? Okay. The resident constitutional expert here with us today in our whole organization, Jason Marocek. He's been doing this for 16 plus years. And I hope that in 2 years, I can catch up to where he was 6 years ago. And you'll see that here. So Jason, tell us, where is the Constitution taking us here? What's going to happen?
Yeah, there is a lot of things that are being thrown at us, you know, from social media and the news. And it's really easy to get bogged down in the minutiae of it all. So let's try to boil it down. Let's contrast two things: what the social media and the news is throwing at us, and what the constitutional authority, what the Constitution says about mm-hmm. what should be happening. Now, so let's start with everything that's being thrown at us, and a lot of them, they're distractions. Now, they're urgent distractions, right? They're things that need to be dealt with, but they're not at the root of what the problem is. So you have number of votes, initial votes, you have how many different states those votes are counted mm-hmm. in, you have lawsuits going on, you have recounts, you have different deadlines and extensions, you have, you know, signature issues. So all these things are kind of swirling around this entire issue. And those are all the things that the media and this, you know, the news, the social media are, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's where they're directing our attention. Mm-hmm. On the other side, you know, as Matt was talking about, we have a former vice president who has coronated himself, the president-elect. And this is all prior to any of the states certifying their votes or any of the electors casting the vote for president. So what we have to do to really understand what is going on, what's going to determine the election, mm-hmm. All these minutiae that we talked about, they're only going to be feeding into the most important two things. You know, the first of those is the electors in the electoral college, how they mm-hmm. vote. And the second thing is what the Constitution says about who gets to be the electors, who gets to vote for the president. And so mm-hmm. I'm just going to briefly go through a little bit of both of those. So let's start with that electoral college. So just to bring everyone up to speed, if you didn't know this already, when you fill out your ballot in your state for who you want to be president, you're not actually casting your vote for the president. That vote is turned in to a vote for a set of electors, a slate of electors. Mm-hmm. So in each state, the people who get to vote for the president are actually appointed by the state legislature. Mm-hmm. And so these people, the group of them across the country, are called the electors. And so it is the electors who eventually cast their vote for president based on how you voted in your state and what your state's mm-hmm. law says. So let's talk about why that is, right? So the reason we do it that way and why it's different than other elected officials is because of what we have in our Constitution. In Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, which says each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. So what that means is that it is the state legislatures who get to appoint those electors to vote for president based on what they pass in their state law. And the number that they're allowed to of these electors they're allowed to appoint is based on the number of senators each state has, so the U.S. senators, so two, plus the number of U.S. House of Representatives that that state is allowed in Congress. So two so plus the number of states.
So I didn't know that until recently. The number of electors equals the amount of senators that each state has, which is two, plus the number of U.S. congressmen in the House of Representatives. So it could be as little as four, or it could be as many as California has. I think it's the biggest.
55, maybe.
55. That's a lot. So that's going to change, though.
53 plus the two senators. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So so that's interesting. So if you ever wanted to know that, where that number comes from, that's where it goes. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. So to recap, the Constitution says that the state and the state legislature get to appoint these electors and the number of them in order to cast that state's vote for the president. So what the Constitution here really is saying is it doesn't matter whether it's the executive branch or maybe a judicial branch that has a different opinion or directs their election board to do, X, Y, or Z or change things last minute. All of that doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, if our Constitution is followed, what's going to matter is what the state law says and whether or not the election officials complied with that law. And any votes that are cast in contravention of that law should be ruled invalid.
So that means that in places like Pennsylvania and in Michigan, where any or two of the three bodies that are not the legislative branch of the state government. So most states have the separation of powers in three offices. For example, Pennsylvania has a governor, that's the executive branch. They have a legislative branch, it's called the state legislature, and they have a Supreme Court at the state level. So that means that if a Supreme Court says you can have the votes come in 3 days after the election and count for any reason, meaning COVID, what you're saying, Jason, is because it didn't come from the legislative branch of that state, the Supreme Court, as the referee, is going to say, time out, those votes don't count because the decision didn't come from the legislative branch. Is that correct?
Yeah, because you didn't act in accordance with the your own law in your state that your legislature passed. So even if the judicial branch has their own opinion, that is not sufficient. It has to be in accordance with the state law.
So that makes me think that that's one of the reasons why there's a rush and there's fraud that's been exposed that has changed the mail-in ballot dates to previous dates, because the opposition, who wants to change the outcome of the election or defraud us of a fair election, realize that because the judicial branch of a certain state, basically through a case or through some sort of edict, said, sure, we can count those ballots 3 days after they come in. So that's why there's the fight to get in, because the Constitution states, according to what you just explained, if it came after, it doesn't count. And there's no change to that that is going to stand unless it came from the state legislature.
Right. And here's an example, I think, that happened in the last 24 hours. And you're alluding to the situation in Pennsylvania where I think it was the election board allowed for that 3 day, mail-in period after the election. Mm-hmm. Well, in addition to that, for provisional ballots, they are allowed by law 3 days to what's called cure those ballots, which means that when you vote in a provisional ballot, it means that for some reason you either didn't have the right ID, you couldn't verify that you're eligible to vote. Well, they'll allow you to cast a vote on a provisional ballot. And then after the fact, they review your information to see if they can prove that you're eligible to vote. And if so, then that will count. But if not, it will not count. Well, in Pennsylvania, the law says that you have 3 days after the election date to cure those provisional ballots. Well, what Pennsylvania tried to do is say, well, because we gave a 3 day extension to the mail-in ballots, and then we add on another 3 days for the curing of those ballots, we get 6 days on those.
And so the question here is, who made that edict? Was it the head of the voting board? Was it the governor? Was it the judicial branch?
And it, it And it almost doesn't matter, because in this case, the court that heard that case said, no. The law says it's only 3 days after the election, not 3 days after the last ballot comes in. And so okay. We're already starting to see some of this constitutional enforcement happen. And mm-hmm. so, again, it's going to take patience, but if we allow this process to play out and people mm-hmm. are acting in accordance with the Constitution, we're going to see at least hopefully a fair election.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
It sounds like, based on your explanation, and obviously we rehearse this and practice it every time Jason explains this, it just becomes more clear. Guys, the Constitution is worth studying your whole life. Because of Jason, he really knows his stuff. He's motivated me to read the Declaration of Independence up late at night. You know, just he didn't say you need to do this. I said I needed to. It is really powerful reading. Jason is always promoting, look at the founding document. And it is written differently than how we speak now. And if you just read the Declaration of Independence, which is a kind of a good way to start when you're going to tackle the founding documents, because it lists the reason why we separated from England and Britain. And it's really shocking the things that England was doing to us. And which gives you context of how our Constitution got to where it is today and where we are today. And
yeah, in fact, a lot of the sections of the Constitution are placed in there directly because of the grievances that we listed in the Declaration of Independence in order to cure those. So I get to sum up sort of the deciding factor. And that's why, to Matt's point about, studying the Constitution, understanding mm-hmm. it, because when all is said and done, all these, distractions and issues and opinions and perspectives, mm-hmm. everything's going to eventually come down to, okay, boys and girls, what does the Constitution say that is allowed mm-hmm. in this nation for this vote or for whatever the issue mm-hmm. is? And that is going to be from where we decide the right way to govern, right? And so mm-hmm. in this case, the deciding factor for who's going to win the election mm-hmm. is going to be, are there enough fraudulent or invalid votes to make a difference in those states who are acting in mm-hmm. contravention of their state law, because that's what's going to need to happen. What does the state law says? How many votes are not in accordance with that? Set those aside. Now who is in the lead in that state? And that is who their electors should be voting for. Now, we do have to mention that there is a movement afoot called the National Popular Vote, which is trying to get certain states, for whatever reason, they are trying to, instead of, let's take an example here in Texas, whoever the majority of people in Texas vote for mm-hmm. president, that is who by state law, our electors are supposed to cast their vote for.
Yep.
But this national popular vote is trying to say, and Colorado is the example because they're the example that just this past election approved this national popular vote. So now in Colorado will not determine who they vote for president until the entire United States votes. And whoever gets the most votes, popular votes, mm-hmm. in the entire United mm-hmm. States is who Colorado is now going to cast their vote for president. So even if they vote for, even if their electoral votes align with the winner of the election, they're going to cast their vote for whoever wins the popular vote. So. And it's a little confusing because, especially if you're new to the whole electoral process for president, mm-hmm. But this whole national popular vote is not the way to go. It's, while it's legal for that state to do that, it takes away the state sovereignty, the idea of each state mm-hmm. having control over who they cast their vote for president. Which brings up another interesting point, right? So mm-hmm. here's a hypothetical situation. Let's say, for example, a state legislature, all these shenanigans going on with, mm-hmm. Trying to change the deadline for when people can vote, the matching signatures, et cetera. What if a state legislature says, you know what, we have studied this issue. We know what we wrote in our state law. The executive branch and the opinions from the judicial branches are not aligning with what is in the state law. Mm-hmm. Any state legislature from here until the time that the Electoral College casts their vote can make a new law. And that law can appoint a specific set of electors. So even though they've been operating under state law for some time, they can change that law and say, you know what, we know that the way this is going, the fraud is going to dictate who we're going to vote for. And so we're now going to change that law to make sure that we're going to directly appoint a set of electors. It is within their power. You know, remember that clause two, Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 says each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct. Mm-hmm. So they can direct which electors vote for president. So this is it'll be an interesting situation to see if some of these legislatures who have had enough of all this fraud and essentially other branches of government overreaching their authority, they're not respecting that separation of powers.
State, judicial branch, the executive branch of each state, the governors.
Yeah. Yep. If legislature thinks that they're overstepping, they can remedy the situation through the power that the Constitution gives them.
Yeah, and this goes to show you that, you know, when you vote down ballot, meaning complete if during a presidential year or an off presidential year, when you vote for a state legislative representative or state senator at the state level, not necessarily at just the governor level, the federal level, but it's important you do that because they have so much power and it matters in times like these. Now, so it sounds like as long as we follow the Constitution, all the hoopla about Biden being coronated as this presumptuous president elect, that may change on a dime, and I don't know what he's going to do then, but I think it's for one state back in 2000, and I remember that we were both alive then, when it was Bush W, that's the second Bush, versus Al Gore for president. Only one state was in play, and it was Florida, where I live now. And it took 37 days. So we've got about five states. Okay, last I heard, Georgia is in a hand recount now. That's in the last 24 hours, I think. But there are five states at play. So people, just be ready. For one state, it was 37 days. With all these states, it's going to take around that time, probably or longer.
Because granted, they're going to be happening concurrently. You know, everything
concurrently, right?
So, but we still have some time. So the jury, so to speak, is still out.
Jury's still out. That's funny. Pun intended. I don't know. So Jason, what can we do? Yeah. What do you recommend we do?
So, I mean, just to wrap up, you know, this process, as you mentioned, is likely to continue for some time. But the good news is that our Constitution accounts for and holds the remedy for all of these situations, all these shenanigans that we're witnessing now. The Constitution accounts for them, and they can be cured and remedied that way. So if you feel like you need to do something, I know there was something floating around Facebook for a while that says, you know, contact the Supreme Court of the United States and tell them. I didn't get the message, but people were telling me about this. No. The idea is
they're an independent body. They're elected for life. So
right. And all they should do is refer back to the different state state laws to make those decisions. So don't contact the Supreme Court of the United States. If you're wanting to do something, contact your state legislators. They're the ones, again, according to the Constitution, who have the authority to appoint those electors. So contact your state representative and contact your state senator. Those are the people that need to hear from you if you're in one of these states that is still going through all these shenanigans.
Yeah, in fact, because you mentioned that, Jason, I actually reached out to my U.S. Congressman, Bill Posey, but I need to talk to my state representative. Anyway, it turns out that Congressman Posey and he's Republican, and other Republicans banded together and said, hey, we need to count only fair votes, valid votes. So, but I need to, and I shall contact my state legislative representative. So, well, all right. So that was awesome. Jason has told us here what the Constitution says, and there's a pretty good chance that in the next couple of weeks, the media is going to be singing a different tune, but we're glad to be a resource for you. Hopefully we can help you get through all that clutter, and we want to thank you for listening and for your support. So go to PatriotCoalitionLive.com for more information. Your support monthly is a big help. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, example, Spotify, and PatriotCoalitionLive.com. Please give us 5-star ratings where you get your podcast. If you would like to give us a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, please go to the website, PatriotCoalitionLive.com. We'd love to hear from you. We may even give you a shout out. Okay, so thanks for joining us, everybody, for this special election episode of 2020.
Thanks, gang. Stay frosty.
Stay frosty. See you guys next time. Take care.